Good to see everyone out this evening. A couple of things that came to my mind this past week. I was watching the Smithsonian Channel, a report on air disasters. Sometimes I like to watch that, see just what happened and the things that took place. And I like to look at things like that also and see how they apply to our life today and how they apply to our spiritual life. In 1979, there was a American Airlines flight out of O'Hare International in Chicago that crashed after it took off, killing 270 people. And the investigators could not figure out why in the world two experienced pilots with over 5,000 hours experience in this plane couldn't bring it around. What happened is that it went down the runway, one of the engines fell off, which, you know, sounds tragic to us, but the plane is designed to be able, it had three engines. It was designed to be able to fly with just one, had enough power to get them up, get them around, and get, why did they could not figure out why in the world that wasn't happening, that these men allowed that plane to crash. Finally, in their investigation, they determined that the maintenance department had decided to change a procedure for mounting the engines to the plane. They take engines off of planes all the time. For maintenance, after so many hours, they replace the engine. They take it off, they rebuild it. It's a requirement. So they're all the time doing this. But the procedure for taking this engine off required about 200 man hours and about 40 bolts around this pylon. You've got a wing, you've got a pylon that's underneath here, and the engine hangs from that pylon. But the maintenance department had decided that, you know, rather than take 200 man hours to drop that engine and replace it, that pylon's only held up with three bolts. We'll just take the pylon and the engine off. Problem is, when they got to it and they got to looking at it, they were using a big forklift to set this engine and pylon back up on the wing and bolt it in place. But the forklift had like half an inch tolerance when they would bump that control one way or the other, and the tolerance on the pylon in the engine was 5/1000ths of an inch. So what happened was, when they brought this up, trying to put this in, they bumped, accidentally, part of the frame that's holding this engine on and caused a stress fracture in the part of the pylon. They had good intentions, but they did not go back and ask the designer of the aircraft, is it okay to change these procedures? And one of the things I thought of, in the religious world, we see a lot of that, don't we? We see a lot of people who want to change God's plan, change God's procedure a little bit, maybe to accommodate themselves. Proverbs 16:25 tells us, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Jude 3 tells us that we should contend earnestly for the faith which was delivered once unto the saints. The designer has given us plans. Right here, we've got the plans on how to reach heaven. We're not at liberty to change these plans. God has set these in motion for us to keep. Look at Abraham and Sarah when they tried to help God, right? They had good intentions. But look at all the trouble that they caused because they didn't get the approval of the designer. Look at Naaman. He didn't need to dip in the Jordan River. And he had good intentions initially, right? He was going to go seek the man of God and get his help. A lot of people in this world seem to have that intention. But Naaman was going to substitute his own thoughts instead of following what the man of God had said. Yet today, many people like to do that. They like to change the directions and make choices for their own benefit. If our critical goal is to reach heaven, then we need to follow the directions of the designer. You know, David asked the children here on Sunday nights, you know, those, who do we want to please? And they've got it down pretty quick. We want to please God, don't we? And where do we want to go? We want to go to heaven. We understand the basic thoughts, I think, of salvation. When we know that people need to hear the gospel. That's a logical thing. I think we can understand that. That's a foundation of our faith. Then people have got to believe that. I think, again, that's a logical step for all of us to understand. Who's going to follow something they don't believe in? And maybe when we start looking, I think we even understand repentance. We've got to change our life. If our life needs to be corrected, we've got to make some changes in it in order to be pleasing to God. Confession of faith in Christ, such as the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8th chapter. We understand that. And I think probably we all understand maybe the sixth step of salvation, that of being faithful unto death. You know, Revelations 2 and 10 tells us if we'll be faithful unto death, there's a crown of righteousness for all of us. A wonderful promise. I'm not sure sometimes if we look at baptism and maybe wonder, well, why baptism? Why does God require baptism? Well, I think we can all see the similarities between Noah and the ark and the salvation from the flood with water. I think we can see the similarity of the children of Israel leaving Egypt, and all of a sudden the armies of Egypt are behind them, and they're saved by the water of the Red Sea. But still, it's God's plan. God had this plan from the foundation of the earth. Matthew 25:34. Then said the king unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared from you from the foundation of the world. Jeremiah 10:23 reminds us, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in him that walketh to direct his steps. You know, it's a hard thing for us to maybe always see down the road. We can see a little ways, can't we? We can anticipate some things. But down the road, 5, 10 years, you and I can't see. But God can. God knows what's best for us. Revelation 22:18-19. We know that if any man should add to these things, or if any man shall take away from the words of the books of this prophecy. You know, these maintenance folks, they didn't really intend to harm anyone, did they? They were trying to save the company 200 man hours to remove that engine and put that engine back on that plane. But they didn't get the designer's thoughts there. They didn't get the designer's approval. If they had done that, the designer would have said, no, you can't do that. You run the danger of, not only did those 270 people die, they grounded the entire fleet of DC-10s in the United States, about 180 planes, until they could find out what was wrong. They also did not allow any foreign air services with DC-10s to fly into the United States. They banned them too. In the investigation, they found 8 more planes that had that pylon stress fracture. Engine's just about to get to rip off. And one of the other problems with it, and that's enough of that secular story, but as that pylon ripped off, it also ripped hydraulic lines. And the pilots, the reason these experienced pilots with two engines, good engines, couldn't make it back to the airport is they lost all hydraulic power. They could not control the plane. God tells us not to add to the book, not to take away from the book. He has designed things for you and me. He has gone, Christ has left this world to go and to prepare a place for us. What a promise that is. And we just need to stay on course, stay with the program, stay with what the designer has given us. we'll be okay. John 2:12-48, Jesus is talking. He said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." This is what we'll be judged by. Romans 12:14-12. "And then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God, according to all that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." You know, we've been told we need to be Christians. There may be some people here tonight who have not accepted Christ and are not Christians. Tonight's a good time to change that. Everything is ready. You can be baptized tonight. If you've been living in a way such that you're outside of Christ, that you have not been following the guidelines like you should, there's also a way that God has given us to come back. Ephesians 1:7 says, "If we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in our life." And James 5:16 tells us that we can confess our faults one to another and pray one for another, that you might be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If you're in the audience tonight and there's something that amiss in your life that you need to have changed, if you need to be baptized, now's a good time to do that. Don't go home and run that risk for the rest of this week or even tonight. As we stand and sing, please.